75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, here we are at the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have John Burgess all the way from New Jersey here in Oklahoma. Welcome to the show, John. It's good to meet you in person.
It's good to meet you, Jerry.
Yeah. And as we mentioned before on previous shows, you're here doing some lectures. And, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people about the Wingmakers site. And a lot of people have been talking to us about the music and the poetry and all the other things. So why don't we give a kind of a recap about what we're talking about for listeners who maybe didn't hear the first show.
Okay. The Wingmakers material that people are finding at the website is composed of a novel, philosophy papers, and poetry, music, graphics, images, paintings, mathematical equations and symbols, and all these things are really designed to, according to Wingmakers, to activate our DNA.
Now, you actually stumbled across the Wingmakers several years ago, correct?
Yeah, in March of 2001 is when I really got into it.
You were aware that it existed before that, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I came across it, I think, in the first show we talked around Christmas time of 2000, and I just didn't have time to get into it then. You know?
Now you have quite a background. We need to get into this. You've been, studying all of this, I call it esoteric stuff, but it's really pretty deep and pretty incredible.
Yeah, it actually, I've been interested in it. Like a lot of people, I was interested in it when I was in my teens and slowly got into the idea of meditation and metaphysics and philosophy and have studied many different systems and really a meditator, too. Many years.
Now, you have a couple of books out, which we have a link on our website about. They're not about the Wingmakers, however.
No, not at all. But they do touch, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
But they, their Sacred Vessel, the Mystery was the Mysteries was the first book we published in 1997, and then we followed up in the year 2000 with Hidden Foundations of the Great Invocation.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier about a prayer on the last show that was made some time back, what, in 46 or
1945.
Okay,
this prayer called the Great Invocation.
And you seem to think that it kind of dovetails with some of the things Wingmakers are doing, or am I making too much of a link there?
No, there is a link, maybe not in detail, but in concept.
Yeah, that's
yes.
What I was thinking about more than anything else. Have we found any more about the fellow who is behind Wingmakers? I think he lives in New York City, I think.
He lives in the New York region, yes. And there's a little bit more about him. Some things I'm not at liberty to even discuss that have been told
too bad,
to me.
But, you know, I'm trying to get as much as I can.
I know. As I said in the first show, he was born as a human being like us, but he claims that he is from beyond this plane and that he is a member of a group called the Lyricus Teaching Order.
I wanted to get into that a little bit because we just touched that
last time.
And we'll get into that. When you say he's born here, but he's from another world, explain how that would work.
Well, in information that's been released lately on the Lyricus site, there are two sites now. There are the wingmakers.com and there's lyricus.org, O-R-G. And on the Lyricus site, there is an article that's been published there that explains that the Lyricus teachers incarnate as children. They incarnate through human beings. That's how they choose to come here. that if they came here directly.
Now we're not talking about the UFO abduction theory and cross-pollination. We're talking about actual reincarnation.
Exactly. We're talking about higher beings, higher level beings who actually are in control of the process of incarnation and can choose where and when. And if they came here in the form that they exist in their real bodies,
are they the light people?
They would look like light beings, okay. Something like light beings.
Why don't you explain to some of our audience what we're talking about? But every once in a while we have somebody come on the show and talk about the light people. What are we talking about, these beings?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by light people.
For instance, what are you thinking about?
Well, for instance, the Wingmakers material has said that the Wingmakers have also been called the Shining Ones, and they were referred to by the ancient Sumerians, and they've been mentioned in various books of that nature. And we must assume by that these beings actually were shining, that they glow, that they were light beings of some sort. And they've also been referred to as the Elohim, you know, in the early Hebrew texts.
And what does that refer to them, how? I mean, does it give a description?
It doesn't really describe them in a way. He has not given any details in this material as yet as to exactly what they would look like, other than this fact. That if they came in the form that they really exist in, their form would detract from their work. In other words, it would be such a distraction that their ability to teach us what needs to be taught would be lost. So that would be too glamorous. You understand what I mean, Jerry, by that?
Well, I think I do. I guess maybe we might use the term of angels or glowing or something if they just reach out and grab people when they walk in a room.
They would be so distinctive that they would be like overwhelming and people would be in awe.
I would assume they may still have a human figure about them. I don't know.
I have no idea. They might be humanoid looking. They may look like light angels, like what we might look like. But, really, I don't even think this is a big issue, but even though the audience may be interested in that. And just the fact that we're talking about it does show that humans are naturally interested in the forms of things, what they look like, which is quite natural for us. So they don't want that to be a distraction from their real mission.
You know, when we talk about this, I always get lots of emails from detractors, and there's something about this subject that really pulls some people forward, and I know they've talked to you about that too. What do you think that's all about? Is it just that the human soul and intellect, some people have trouble accepting spirituality, or what?
Well, I think when anything that comes along that could rock the boat, so to speak, or shake us out of our comfort zone, when anything like that comes along, some people get very uncomfortable with it. They may feel threatened. They may feel that the world that they're living in will be redefined in a way that they can't control. And therefore, there's fear and there's doubt and suspicion about things like this. There's nothing wrong with healthy skepticism. I'm pretty skeptical guy myself, believe it or not, despite the fact that we're talking about something pretty strange here. Nevertheless, I think when something powerful comes forth, that there's a subconscious fear that people may have, and it might trigger certain elements in their personalities where they get in your face over it, and they get upset.
We're talking with John Burgess, and we're broadcasting from Shadowwood Entertainment Mall here in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I was here doing some shows with Darkwood Motion Pictures upstairs and asked John to drop by. You're actually over in Tahlequah for the next couple of weeks.
That's right. Yeah, I'm teaching a class over there.
And we appreciate you coming over. It's not that far, about 25 miles to get over here. And we will be right back, folks. And I want to talk to John after the commercial about the poetry and the music. There's something very interesting about it that struck me, and I want to find out what he thinks about it. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files.
All I ever wanted to love was someone like you. someone who looks at the river frozen and knows underneath the current remains. Someone who knows that when the sky is absent a color beneath the globe, another world comes to light. All I ever wanted was to love someone like you. Someone who can untangle my life in their golden light and steal my eyes, knowing I could never turn away. I could never turn away.
Information and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all, jerrypippin.com. At jerrypippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now, www.jerrypippin.com.
The UFO Files continues. John Burgess is with us. We are in the mall, and so you hear people occasionally in the background. But, John, appreciate it, you doing the broadcast with me here this way.
Anywhere I can get the word out is fine with me.
You know, we talk about the poetry and the music, and first of all, I guess we need to bring the listeners up to speed where this supposedly was found. What's the story on that?
You mean the... how all the material came about.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I've heard the story about the cave and the canyon and things in New Mexico.
Yeah, we should continue that a little bit because we didn't really get into it completely.
No, we didn't.
But in brief, the Wingmakers website contains part of a novel. There's a novel associated with this in which the story is told about the finding of alien artifacts and a cavern that was apparently artificially created by aliens, it seems, in Chaco Canyon. And a secret government team is sent out there to investigate. And they find artistic artifacts out there in these caverns, like chamber paintings they're called. They find crystals in these chambers. And they found a laser disc, and the entire cavern is shaped like a helix.
Had they found the laser disc just laying there someplace? Or?
No, they went through 23 different chambers in this spiral cavern, and up in the 23rd chamber they found an optical disc. And they take that disc back to their laboratories, and they, using their super secret government computers, they found over 8,000 pages of information was decoded from that disc, some of which was music, some of which was poetry and philosophy.
The thing that I wanted to bring up about the music and the poetry, it seems to have an emotional element that we humans can identify with. It was from another world, which I find very interesting. Does that mean that we're all the same?
Well, essentially, we are all created from what the Wingmakers call the human template. They call it the master DNA template. And from some of the material in there, it tells how this master template is kind of tailored or contoured to fit certain planetary environments in different galaxies. So
there are sub-sub-templates of this DNA helix that we all have. But so we are essentially, according to Wingmakers, one universal human organism that's spread across time and space on different planets. Now, the poems have the emotional element to them because they're designed to get people in touch with their human emotional center, because many people are out of touch with the feeling side of themselves. And
I understand what you're saying there. Basically, I mean, the poetry and the music both, especially combined, really touches some human emotions. And basically, I guess that's what the Wingmakers are trying to get us to do, to become more civilized, more what? More intellectual what?
Yeah, well, if you even if you go back briefly to the idea of the Shining Ones that the Sumerians talked about, they were culture bearers. They supposedly taught the ancient peoples how to farm, how to have government, how to do many of these things that we call civilization. And now they've returned to this point because we're ready to take another step forward. And that involves a form of a spiritual psychology, a new type of psychology. And the initial stages of this material is designed to get people back in touch with their human element, to get back in touch with their feelings, to train them to use their mind, even perhaps to meditate. You know, there are exercises that are now being given out through this material that are starting to go in that direction, or at least hint at it.
And of course, you have lots of experience in that area.
Yes.
And this is one of the things I imagine attracted you to the Wingmakers phenomenon.
Well, when I read the philosophy papers on the website back a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I recognized something deep in there that already rang a bell with me from my past studies. And I said, well, you know, this demands further study, and that's exactly what I did, you know.
And what do you think the object, or have they told us, the object of the Wingmakers ultimately will be on civilization here on Earth?
Well, their mission is very clear. It's to guide humanity to the irrefutable scientific discovery of our human souls and the interdimensional, multidimensional reality in which we live.
They're from what star system did you you mentioned last time? You mentioned that they were
they have not identified themselves as being from any particular star system.
Okay, I have heard rumors that they're from Sirius, and then they're from here, they're from there.
Well, they're Lyricus, I believe, the Lyricus teaching order, according to this, established an outpost in the Sirian star system before humans existed on Earth. Now, that'll give your audience something to think about in terms of the extent and the profundity of this teaching order, if they want to accept this at least as a working hypothesis.
Well, let's stop and think about it. You know, you talk about a teaching order in terrestrial teachings. Teaching orders are off someplace, usually quiet up in the mountains someplace, so that's not too far for, you know, a foreign of a thought.
If you
bring it forward or push it backwards, or however you want to say. I want to, first of all, note the interesting juxtaposition of this interview. We're talking about something very far out, very elitist in many ways, and here we are in the home of a redneck country, and I can say that because I'm a native of this town.
I'm glad you're saying it.
Yeah, right. And so I think the whole interesting juxtaposition of this interview maybe will inspire me to get to the right questions, or you to come out and say something. So we'll be back and find out. We're going to take a commercial break. This is Jerry Pippin. John Burgess is our guest. He's from New Jersey. He's visiting us in Oklahoma. This is the UFO Pod.
I'd like to talk to you for a moment, if I could, about the body's natural healing power. It comes from two sources: proper nutrition and the ability to create what it needs from within. The body must have a defense, because if it doesn't, then some type of disease will end up surfacing. There has been lots of research on glycoproteins. And as a result of this research, we now know that the body uses carbohydrates, and these carbohydrates help the cells communicate. By 1996, scientists identified 8 sugars involved in this communication process. We figured out that really, it really gets down to the fact that the sun, and only the sun, is able to capture these carbohydrates through the use of plants. And one of the interesting things we found out, that these plants must vine ripe. So I'll tell you what you do. You just click on our website and go to that healthy food banner and click it on, and you'll find more information from Dr. Catherine Frisbee and others on how good nutrition can change your life.
Jerry Pippin. This is Jerry Pippin. John Burgess is our guest. We're at Shadowwood Mall in Muskogee, Oklahoma. We're talking about the Wingmakers. And, you know, we really did not cover the fiction and Professor Neruda or Dr. Neruda very much last time. We got into it, but it's quite complicated. You feel he's really a true character disguised in fiction? Is that?
Yeah, in a way, like I said last time, I think he represents a composite figure who may work, in fact, for the government in some capacity, investigating artifacts and things of that nature that have been found. But beyond that idea, I think we should complete the plot, the general plot of the story, because it's an important metaphor at another level that's important for humanity to get, Jerry. And the thing is, when the novel ends, we're not ruining this for anybody. It's not like a mystery story. We're not talking about an Agatha Christie here, but we're talking about something very intriguing. Neruda decides to defect, to leave the ACIO.
Now, this is a government, super government agency.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, he belongs to an unacknowledged level of that organization that not even the ACIO or the NSA know exist. And that's called the Labyrinth Group.
And people have been following all of these stories in the news since 9/11. That's not that far out.
I guess it isn't. Yeah. So what happens is when they go back to the laboratory and they decode this optical disc, their computers are very interesting. The operator of the computer is actually part of the computer, and he sits in a certain room, and he has part of the computer connected to him. So that operator is talking to Dr. Neruda, who's in a different room.
So a technoman.
Yes, sort of that type of idea. And Dr. Neruda says, yes, I see the information on my monitor too. And so the operator says, yeah, there's 231 pages in this first section. So Dr. Neruda says, yeah, I'm reading it. So Neruda begins reading this information, and it's all about the Wingmakers telling him what needs to happen on our planet for us to move forward. So at the end of this reading session, the operator says, well, what do you think of this? And Neruda says, well, I don't know, it's like amazing, isn't it? And he says, well, what do you mean it's amazing? All it is a bunch of computer lines. And Neruda suddenly realizes that what's on his screen is not what's on the operator's screen. Mm-hmm. They were for Neruda's eyes only. And at that moment, he realizes he has to leave the ACIO. And the Wingmakers have explained to him that there are 6 other sites hidden on the Earth that he needs to find, and he needs to decode the information in those sites, because this entire array, these 7 sites, are designed to lift the level of humanity's consciousness. And in order to do this, he has to find a girl, a little girl named, I think she's like 13 or 15 years old. Her name is Leah. So she's going to become part of the story. But thing is, we have no idea when the next part will be published. That's all up to James. And, you know, no one knows his schedule.
Now, James is the man who is not of this earth, soul-wise.
Yes, and he's responsible for creating this information. Now, the thing about Dr. Neruda that's really interesting that I think people should really get is the fact that this is a modern-day myth of the hero's journey.
And maybe readers remember Joseph Campbell and all the material he worked with, even with George Lucas and Star Wars. I mean, he was his mentor for Star Wars. And certainly that's a tremendous myth, a modern-day myth about good and evil. Well, Dr. Neruda now leaves the ACIO. He's more or less on the run, because if they catch him, they will erase his memory. They have the means to do that.
The government.
The government, the secret organization.
And not only mind control, mind wiping out.
Yeah, it's called an MRP, yeah, in the material. But in any event, so Dr. Neruda, in a way, symbolizes all of us. There are many of the people that listen to this show have left some form of a hierarchical control system. Everyone is in some sort of a structure that they live within, whether it's the world power struggle, the world power establishment, or whatever that is. And but Neruda has left it not simply because he has more knowledge, but that knowledge has actually transformed him. Because in a way, he would like to take this information back to his boss in the secret organization and explain to him what he has found. And now he realizes he can't do that anymore, because he has become a different person. And once someone's had an inner experience that transforms their consciousness, they can never quite return to where they came from and be that same person. And so he realizes he must continue on this journey. So it's a very powerful metaphor, and it's part of the teaching object of the novel itself.
Well, are there other places that people have found besides New Mexico?
Well, I can tell the listeners here in the novel the other six sites. They are revealed in the novel.
Well, that'd be interesting.
There's one in Cusco, Peru, near Cusco, Peru.
Is that up in the Andes?
Or yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Helsinki, Finland. Somewhere near Lake Chad in Africa. Another one near Lake Vostok, which is the freshwater lake underneath Antarctica. Canton, China. And somewhere in South Central Australia. And they are the other six sites besides the Chaco Canyon site.
Do you know if anyone's found anything up in Chaco Canyon? No,
I've heard of people. There's a Wingmakers forum, by the way. People can go. It's a public forum on the internet, and we've seen chatter and whatnot where people have wanted to go there and have gone there to look around. But James has revealed to people who have asked the question that there is really no site there, like what's in the novel. But what he has done is he is honoring certain sacred sites that do exist around the earth by bringing that element into the storyline. But that is not to say that there are not sites where alien craft and various things have landed and where there are artifacts. Do you understand the idea there?
Right, yeah. Right. In fact, this has had a lot of... not only double meanings, but triple and
yes,
quadruple meanings.
Yeah, James said in one of the there are at least three sessions of questions and answers that James has reached out and answered questions put to him, and at the end of one of them, one of these sets, he said that the Wingmaker's material is designed to be very challenging and very multi-layered, and he actually tells people. If it's something you just want to play around with, I advise you to move on to something else and not study it, because it demands very deep attention. So here's a person who's saying basically to get lost if you're not really going to take it seriously.
In other words, it's more than a mind game.
Yes, much more. I mean, people who do think it's just a mind game or a hoax, I think they're very much mistaken.
When we come back here, we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to find out if our guest has actually met James in person or communicated with him, how that worked, and we'll be back. I'm Jerry Pippin. You're listening to the UFO File.
Hey, this is Jerry Pippin, Las Vegas, baby. It's where it's happening.
Right, like I said, it's gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Nobody covers Las Vegas like Jerry Pippin. Check out the people and features behind the bright lights at jerrypippin.com.
The UFO Files from Shadowwood Mall in Muskogee, Oklahoma. We broadcast from Everly's. Last week, Roswell and a couple of...
I'm honored to be right after Roswell. That's a rough act to follow.
What about James? Have you ever talked to him or met him? Or
I've never talked to him or never met him.
I don't even know that his webmaster has met him, has he?
I believe Mark Hempel has met James. Okay. Yes, he has. And but I have not. My interaction with James came via an email that... I thought I had identified one of James's past personalities. It's not who he is now, but I believe he was identified in the Alice Bailey material.
And
I mentioned that in our last interview.
Right, we mentioned Alice Bailey last time.
Yeah.
And so you confronted him with this, for lack of a better word. You wrote it.
Yes, and I was shocked to find that I got an answer back, and it was relayed to me through Mark, because I don't really know James's address or anything of that sort. No one really does. And it was relayed back to me that was true, and I was invited to ask some questions, and I began a correspondence, and I've had questions answered, and I've had about 6 or 8 correspondences with James. I'm not the only person who has.
Were the answers surprising to you, or pretty much what you thought they might be?
Some of them were confirmations of things that I had in my own concepts on metaphysics and whatnot. Others were way beyond that. They were kind of surprises. And some of his answers were quite private and profound, and I'm not really ready to discuss those publicly.
Those were about you personally, or about...
Yeah.
Yes, okay,
yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Fine.
Yeah, and I was quite impressed with the first set of answers that I got, because here's why. As I said, I've studied a particular kind of metaphysics for over 30 years. And the Wingmaker's material itself does not use any of the specific terminology in that brand of metaphysics, if you will. Call it the Alice Bailey teachings or theosophy. It's not even mentioned in the Wingmaker's material. But yet, I approached him by using that type of vocabulary. And my answers were in the language that I understood. Mm-hmm. So therefore, how could this person know that language without doing their own deep research into that material? Because that material is very complex and sophisticated, the Alice Bailey material. And yet this man answered my questions using some very obscure esoteric phraseology that I would only know how to get by looking into a master index of that material. That impressed me.
You know, one thing that I want to ask you, I started to ask you last time on the phone, mm-hmm. but when you first started studying the metaphysical universe, and I believe you went to talk to the powers that be in the Himalayas and other places.
You think I did? No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay. See, I thought you were on this trek around the world. You did all of this intellectually then from your...
Most of my travels have been on the mental plane.
Okay.
Yeah, and in meditation I've gotten some tremendous insights in that way, and I've gone around and given talks on things. But I've never felt the need to go anywhere physically in order to gain that type of knowledge.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And do you run across people that understand that, or a lot of people say, well, I got to go find so and so or so and so and see what he has to say.
Yeah, well, all I could tell people is that that type of a journey is all well and good, but every journey is really a journey in consciousness. I mean, you could go to the Himalayas and stand right in front of a master and never even know it, if your consciousness is not ready for it. You say, so it's this whole issue of what I call invisibility. I, for some reason, recognized who James was, and I don't mean just simply as Master P, but
as this higher being, not mm-hmm. just somebody who had a good idea of how to create art. And I recognized that, and I believe I was rewarded, if you will, by him actually communicating with me through personal emails, relayed through the webmaster.
So he probably found your questions challenging and interesting and worthwhile.
Yes, he actually said that. And a few questions, he says, I find this topic very interesting, he says, and let me explain it. And then he would go into this explanation of certain things, yeah.
When we come back, we're going to wrap up the hour. It's been fast, it always is when we do a show. But I want to kind of take a perspective back and see what you're drawing out of all of this, and maybe relate it to the listeners and to myself exactly what we're facing here. This is Jerry Pippin. We'll be back. You're listening to the UFO Files.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain.
I am open for business.
And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set as adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
Adver what?
With print and broadcasting and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, Will, will it work?
It will. Well, my name ain't Will, Philomena. We've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or Die, Dopey. Brought to you by Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, this radio station on the famous radio ranch.
Yeah, if we say music from the future, you could say that in the future in terms of our future evolution, but it isn't music that's coming from our own evolution in the future.
In other words, it's not a time travel thing.
No, not like
nobody
that.
Nobody put it in a machine and sent it back here to
us. No, it isn't like that. But what it is the music itself is very much the most powerful aspect of the Wingmaker's material. I could tell the listeners out there that this is all moving in the direction of the importance of sound. And right now the latest material is all about getting in touch with your original voice. And the original voice is connected to the heart chakra. And the latest material that's on the website now talks about the heart-brain system and how to use that in order to begin to get in touch with, become more sensitive to the soul. And that is really where the Wingmakers material's taking humanity, or those that are resonating with it right now. I mean, it isn't designed, it's designed for anyone who wants to take a deep interest in it, but the material is very specific that certain people will resonate with it very much, and others it'll just sort of roll off them, or they actually may be repulsed by it. But that is the nature of new things, isn't it?
Well, you're right, and as you said, when we were talking earlier, if you're not ready for this type of thing, you might not realize that you're talking to someone very profound at all.
That's very true. I mean, and it isn't in any way to be impolite to any of the listeners or to be elitist in any way, but it's just the idea that this will definitely be for certain people, and they will just be so moved by it they won't. For instance, we have a friend in England who, when he first read some of the Wingmakers material, he started crying uncontrollably. Because it was so profound to him. And he told me, he says, it's like somebody like opened up a door in my mind and showed me something I've been looking for my whole life. And this man's like in his early 70s.
You know, when you talk about these things, peace and tranquility with yourself and the world, et cetera, it's interesting that they draw such remarkable emotional reactions from people who almost want to do the opposite, want to beat you up almost.
Yeah.
It's strange, but I guess that's the nature of the beast.
Well, if you're in touch with feelings, they could go either way, right? But if you're not in touch with any feelings, you're not going to cry or beat somebody. You're just going to walk away from them.
Well, what do you think, what would you say to the Wingmakers detractors here? What do you say to them? You know, they say, oh, that's not another world. Well, we pretty well explored that today, that it's not supposed to be necessarily.
Well, detractors... the material is relevant to me. If you're a detractor, I don't know why you are a detractor, except for the fact that the material does not resonate with you. Now, if you want to get in somebody's face and be a detractor because you want to disrupt what somebody else is doing, I would just simply say to back off a little bit and give people their space.
What's the overall message that you've drawn out of this? You've talked to James. You've obviously listened to all the music. There's probably more CDs coming, right?
Oh, yes. From what I know, there will eventually be 88 pieces of music. All this is very well planned, Jerry. The Lyricist Teaching Order talks about specific protocols. Sounds very official, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
They say in their material that they've done what they're doing here on many, many different planets, and that we're just one more planet on their list, and that the time has come for our planet to make this shift, and they're here to help us do it. So, to me, this would be like the icing on the cake of my esoteric studies for all my years. It really feels like something that I've been waiting for but didn't really know was coming. It's a real surprise.
Well, I think that's a good way to end the show. You've got anything that we need to bring out that we haven't? The time flies so fast, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would say that the material that we're talking about here is called coded material. In fact, it's officially called an encoded sensory data stream. The entire Wingmakers website is encoded and is designed to waken our DNA, to trigger something. And that's where it fit in with the great invocation work I did. James has told me that whenever a very important work is brought to humanity, higher beings encode it in many different ways, through the use of sound, through the use of color, through number, through rhythm, through various means the material is coded. And the great invocation was coded with things that relate to Isis, to Egypt, to the star Sirius, to Hermes. The whole thing is a hermetic sound formula, the great invocation. Mm-hmm. And that dovetails perfectly with Wingmakers material. A lot of the Wingmakers material, you're instructed to read the material out loud, even if you're by yourself, because there's something about the way the material is put together that when it sounds through the airwaves and it hits your ears and your brain, that it becomes an activator. So I would leave people with the idea that this is an encoded material, and that what may meet your eye may not exactly be what's happening below the surface, that there's a lot more there.
John Burgess, it's been an enjoyable hour. A little far out maybe for some people, but at the same time, there's something going on here.
Oh, most definitely. And I would ask you to keep your eye on it, and I'm always ready to come back and talk more.
Well, we'll do it again.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the UFO Files. We're broadcasting from Shadowwood Mall in Muskogee, Oklahoma, my hometown, and I'd like to thank Roberta Scott for being our on-location producer today. Until next time, cheers.